Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Guys, welcome back to the Pelican Scuba Hoop Dashball.com presentation. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter. And due to my lack, I suppose, thereof, or limited knowledge of college basketball and the impending draft where the Pelicans are picking number 10, I've decided to assemble my own, well, sort of pseudo-Avengers, I guess. Got the other hoopball guys on to do a big round table, and we're going to have a chat. We're going to break down the draft. Who's going where? What do we want? Who should? Who's going to be, I suppose, over-drafted? Who's going to be under-drafted? A few sleepers. We're just going to chew the fat for a bit for a little while. See where the day / evening takes us. I know you guys are a bit later in the evening. For me, it's 9 a.m. So, guys, welcome. Who have we got? We got Will Harris from the All Rookie Podcast. Will, how are you going, mate?
Hey, I'm doing great, Lyle. Great to return the favor and be on your show. So I'm glad to be here. Yeah, definitely check out the All Rookie Podcast. Thanks for having me on.
Mate, pleasure to have you. Then we've also got David Williams from the Hoop Ball Grizzlies. David, how are you going, mate?
Good, man. Excited about this draft. The Grizzlies are a little bit further down, but a lot of great prospects in this draft.
Who else we got down there? Isaac Simpson, also from the Hoopball Grizz. Isaac, first time on the show. Yeah. How are you going, mate?
Man, I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on, man. We're excited down here in Memphis. As David said, we're down at 17, but our GM, Zach Kleiman, has been known to move around a little bit. So anything can happen, man. We could move up. We could move down. We'll see what happens. But it's going to be a fun draft, and I'm excited about it.
And to round us out, yeah, well, it's great to have you as well, mate. We've got Corbin Ford from, what is it, NBA Today, isn't it?
We got a little rename. We got a little round ball ramble up in here. You know, thought it was clever. It took me all night to come up with that one. But
I love it.
But yeah, man, happy to be here. Join all you guys. A lot of you guys I've been talking with or, you know, tweeting. And it's good to all be in the same space.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I feel like we're all on the different group chats and the Slack and all those different things. And then yeah. Never actually get on and actually chew the fat ourselves, chat with one another and weigh it off on the actual shows. So I thought I would try to rally as many together as we could and, chat about the draft. It's one of those things that brings people together, I guess, as well as tearing Twitter spaces apart. But to start us off, I thought we just run – top to bottom, if we've got the draft orders in front of us, I mean, you guys are probably much more advanced in terms of who's going where, who's doing what. So I thought we could just run 1 to 30. Who do we think's going where? And, I mean, happy for discussion. So, I mean, number one, consensus has to be, who do we think?
Cade.
Cade, for sure. Cade Cunningham.
So, Cade... we've got, he's what, out of Oklahoma State's point guard, shooting guard. What makes this guy so special? Isaac, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, man. Cade, I mean, he's a unique prospect. I mean, having point guard skills at 6'7", about 220, 225 pounds, I mean, you just don't see that every day. A guy that can handle the basketball and do the things that he does at that size. I mean, it's unique, and it makes him hard to guard. I mean, you got him going up against smaller guards in the league. I think he's going to be able to hit the ground running from day one and really cause some problems in the NBA. Man, I love him as a prospect. Watched a lot of Oklahoma State because of him this year, and I think he's going to be tremendous. I think he's going to have a, a long career. You kind of go back and look at it in the past of guys that reminds you of, even though he wasn't really a point guard, Grant Hill, and ironically, Grant Hill played in Detroit. That's kind of what he reminds me of. It kind of in the mold of playing point guard, he kind of reminds me of Grant Hill and some of the skills he can do with that height, fast basketball, shoot the three. I mean, he can do it all. Not the biggest athlete, but outside of that, I mean, he's a tremendous prospect. And again, 6'7", 220, being able to play point guard. I mean, it's tremendous. And I think there's no doubt that he's going to be, I think, an all-star in this league.
Oof. It's big props for the young fella there. David, anything to add?
No, I think Isaac pretty well hit it, man. I think that there may have been slight discussion of possibly Evan Mobley, but Cade is just the best prospect in this draft. I think whenever it comes down to draft day, there's not going to be any hesitation. It's going to be Cade and a landslide.
Yeah. Will, any thoughts on Cade?
Yeah, he definitely nailed it. There's nothing much to add to it. You know, I see a little Jason Tatum in this game.
I see that too.
You know, yeah, so I think he's a great pick. It's a lot of discussion on teams trying to move up and try to get that pick from Detroit, but I'm sure it will take a boatload of everything. They're going to have to send the whole kitchen sink. But he should definitely go number one, regardless of who's picking.
I completely agree, and I know David and I got on into a little Twitter back and forth over my proposed trade for the Pelicans to get Cade with pick number one, and apparently Eric Bledsoe and pick 10 wasn't enough. All defensive second
player. Hey, I'd go with that, Lyle. I support it.
What are your thoughts on Cade, Cool?
You know, I mean, listen, everyone covered it really just so well. I think that it's not that debatable only because the highest possible outcome for Cade being like immediately able to contribute is just better than the other guys, even though like the ceiling floor may be different, or you may like the fit of, you know, we're gonna talk about like Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs or someone else. Like, you have a better chance of Cade just coming in and just fitting right in for a team that could possibly make the playoffs with the roster they already have constructed than you do with anyone else. I just think it's that clear. And like y'all already described, I mean, you look at just the attributes he has, what he brings to the table, the poise that he brings, you know, shooting 40% from three, all of that. I mean, it's an all-purpose offensive initiator for a league that values those like none other.
Yeah, I think there were some concerns from Pistons fans early because of Killian Hayes. Are these two guys going to be able to play together? But I think at the end of the day, you don't even really need to have that conversation. Like,
yes, crazy.
When you're picking number one, you're taking the best player there. And Hayes, what's the weirdest thing to me about all of that is Hayes played off the ball some last year. So he has shown that he's capable of playing off of the ball. And you're talking about taking somebody, and it's not like, you know, the drop off from K to Jalen Green would be that far, but you know, as far as projections, I just, you know, to me, I'm not worried about fit, especially with a young team in Detroit. I'm not worried about fit. I just think that, you know, draft the best player available and work with whatever you got. You know, you can make trades later if it's not working out. But if you pass on a possible franchise changing player because of fit, it can come back and eat you for sure.
Yeah, and I think it just adds to the versatility. I mean, you with Cade, he's 6'7". 220. So, I mean, he can play some off the ball. It just brings versatility. I mean, I think you could play him and Killian together. Killian can be on the ball sometimes, and you can put Cade on the ball sometimes, Cade off the ball, and vice versa. So, I just think they're crazy, man. Just, man, take the prospect and best player in the draft and prosper, man. That's kind of what the people always have something to complain about, man. I wish the Grizzlies were sitting up there at number one. I wouldn't be worried about was he to play with Ja or not. It would be easy pick for me.
Could you imagine Jar and Cade playing alongside one another? The teams would be in some trouble.
Yeah, man, that's scary. Scary, man.
Yeah, I mean, from all reports, you know, you always with a number one draft pick, you need to swing for the fences. You're going for the best player. You know, sometimes you whiff. Otherwise, usually you're getting a surefire guy that goes on to have a really good career. So, you know, whether the Detroit Pistons had 10 point guards on there, you're still going to go and get this guy. A 6'7", you know, like you said, you can play off the ball. You could even slide him to the three at times. You can play a three guard lineup. You know, there's a few different guys on that roster that are, you know, that you can expand and build around Cade. I think this is a chance for them to really, I suppose, revitalize the franchise for one that's sort of been middling along for some, well, period, long period of time now, I guess. Who we got? Number two is to the Houston Rockets. That's a great chat. That's exactly what what I think we want to hear. That's exactly what I want to hear as well. That is awesome. Corbin, I'm going to get you to kick off on this one. Who is Houston picking with pick number two?
Oh, my goodness. You're going to start me on the one that I'm sure we're going to. Okay.
If you want, I can throw it to someone else.
No, I'm messing with you, man. No. Now, I've gone back and forth on this, mostly not because of the prospect, but just the team. And, I mean, well, let's just start the conversation now. I'm going with, and I switch back and forth, but right now, my heart is leaning toward Jalen Green. It just is. I think you look at a guy, only 19, just super athletic, immediately, I feel, puts on a show, helps that backcourt tremendously. I think he pairs better with Kevin Porter Jr. off the bat than I see a Mobley Christian Wood pairing happening, and just avoiding clunkiness in that way. You could have him sliding at the two, play off of both Porter Jr. and Christian Wood. Someone who I think can come in and have a similar, I don't want to say like an Anthony Edwards type season, but just focusing on his strengths. And he already proved that just playing with the G League Ignite team, that this is something he could already do at an NBA level, which is put the ball in the basket. And so I look at him as someone I project as a high level scorer. And I think as of right now, 6:17 my time, that he would be a nice fit for Houston.
Ooh, Will, what do you reckon? Are you going with Green?
I'm one of the few that are not taking Evan Mobley or Jalen Green. I believe they should take Jalen Suggs, the 6'4".
Wow. Okay. Gonzaga.
Yeah, I mean, and just in my opinion, I think he's the second best player in this draft. He has amazing court vision, very clutch. I mean, he was just prime time all year in college, and he led his team to almost an undefeated season. He just pops on the screen when you see his tape. John Wall is not long for this team. I think he could play well with Kevin Porter Jr. And, you know, when I see him, I see a little Damian Lillard, a little Brandon Roy in his game. Are you going to pass on that to get someone that is full of potential in Evan Mobley and Jalen Green? He's not going to be Damian Lillard. So, you know, I'm different than most people on that. But I see Jalen Suggs going to Houston. What's up, Corbin?
You know, there's been some talk on NBA Twitter. You know, we got to always believe everything they say. They're comparing Jalen Green to Kobe now, okay? I ain't say it, but that's
all. Oh, see, I hadn't heard that one.
And you can't do that. Those drive me crazy. Man. Like,
I know. I hate those comparisons, man.
Me too. I was playing.
If you don't have a comp, that's fine. But like to say, oh, I'm going to compare this guy to Jordan. Or Bird or LeBron. It's like, man, you cannot say that this is going to be, you know, that's generational talent. You can't compare those guys.
I'm taking Kobe number two.
Right.
If he's Kobe, for sure.
Hands down.
Right.
Isaac, what are your thoughts?
Man, I agree with all the points they made. You have Christian Wood there, who had a tremendous season despite injuries. But I still think they go Evan Mobley. I think if this was any other draft and Cade Cunningham wasn't sitting there, I think Evan Mobley would go number one. I mean, just a guy at 7 foot can move the way that he moves. He's agile, man. The footwork that he brings, I mean, he does need to bulk up a little bit, but I think he's going to be – I think you look at the two players in this draft, I think Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley are both going to be all-stars. The skills that Evan Mobley brings to the table, just at that size, I just think are too much to pass up. I think they take Mobley and try to find a way to make it work. I think you can move Christian Wood to the four, play him at the four, and play them together. And I think that'll make a formidable front court that's going to cause problems for years in advance. So I understand the fit. I think Jalen Green, you could definitely make a point that he fits better there. But I think they go with Evan Mobley.
Yeah, so that's three people with three different players, right? So David, you're the tiebreaker.
Hey, what do you reckon, David?
I'm going. It's tough. You know, you look at fit on team, and I just talked about with Detroit. Okay, are you worried about fit? Are you taking the best player available? And you can argue, just like these guys said, you know, William made a great point about Jalen Suggs and what he was able to do at Gonzaga. You know, my only question with that would be, yeah, he was able to do that. He played very well, but that's also a loaded lineup. You know, they had four guys that are probably going to get drafted in this draft on a college team. So, you know, he looked really good. And I don't think that you can go wrong with either of these three guys. But to me, between these three, I think Jalen Green has the highest upside. I think Evan Mobley is going to be good, but I'm scared of bigs. There have been so many bigs that have been drafted because they're 7 foot tall that just did not pan out. And when you have a 6'4", 6'5" wing that can create his own shot, create for other people, that tends to translate. And so, you know, there's not a ton of questions in Mobley's game. He's a great prospect. I think that, you know, defensively, he's going to come in and make an impact immediately. You know, the offensive end, I'm not so sure of it. So for me, Jalen Green would be the guy if I'm the Rockets at two, but it wouldn't surprise me if they went Mobley. I think that the long shot there is Jalen Suggs, and that's not to throw Will under the bus there, but that's just kind of where I'm at with it. I'm, you know, I guess maybe it's post-traumatic stress syndrome because of the Grizzlies history with drafting big men, but
remind me, man.
Yeah, you know, to meet with a number two pick didn't work out so well for the Grizzlies, so you know it's
oh Lord. Yeah. Yep. it just hit me.
He should not be named, man. I'm not gonna say that name.
But like, I guess here's the question I have for y'all. I mean, just throwing it out off the cuff, like in my mind, that's kind of my thing too. I don't want to knock on Mobley, and he seems to be consensus pick, you know, but I feel like much of the same conversation, they're not the same players, I'm not saying that they are, but I feel like much of the same conversation was thrown in for Wiseman last year in terms of can't miss, you know, this is kind of the clear pick, this and that, for different reasons, of course, but then ultimately we saw a big kind of go through the growing pains in a league that I think it's like was mentioned before, a lot easier for a swing man who can put the ball in the basket with a set skill with plenty of upside than to have a guy who could do a whole lot of things. But right now, I mean, he's definitely gonna be a great player wherever he goes, but like, is he that guy to be like, okay, you know, we're drafting him or two to build around, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this is tough because, you know, they're different players as well. So you're sitting at Evan Mobley, you've got this skinny, tall bloke who, you know, looks like he could be a really good prospect, but we've also seen big men just take, you know, 2-3 years to really put that size on it and dominate. You know, you have a look at these guys like even Cat and AD, like straight away they didn't come out and average, I don't think they averaged 20 anyway, happy to be corrected, but you know, they were skinny kids who needed to put that size on. And I think as an NBA big man, they'll need to be more patient as to whether or not Houston is prepared to do that, hopefully, since they flogged everyone else off. But you know, that is tough. I don't think we've ever had a draft that I remember, maybe we have, that 2, 3, 4, and even 5 are probably interchangeable. And no one, I don't think anyone is going to say, oh, yeah, I probably could have gone him or I probably could have gone him. I think all of them are pretty good prospects from all of the hype that's surrounding them. Pick number three, it's Cleveland. They have talked about going to number one. I don't think they've got the assets to do it. I don't think Detroit is silly enough to move on it, surely. I mean, Colin Sexton is interesting, but I don't know if there's – I don't see the point. I think you've got to go and get Cade Cunningham. But Cleveland, who should we start with? David, what do you reckon? Who's getting number three? If I don't know who the top two were. But
This one is it's tough. I think a lot of it hinges on what Houston does. They're not going to Suggs, I think, is out at three. I don't think that he goes to Cleveland just because talent wise, you're pretty close there. And Green is just a better fit, a lot of talent. So if Houston takes Green at two, then I think, man, I don't, this is honestly the trickiest pick of the draft to me, because they have Jared Allen. They just traded for him, a young big. And is that if Houston happens to take Jalen Green at two and leaves Mobley on the board, are they going to draft a guy like Mobley having Jared Allen on the squad already? And I don't know how you justify that, man. I really, really, really don't. It's, I think whatever Houston does at two is really going to affect the way that that Cleveland moves forward here with the third pick. You know, you mentioned, you know, two through five are fairly interchangeable. If for whatever reason, Houston goes Jalen Green at number two, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they go Kuminga at three here.
Yep. So that's what I think. That's what I was just saying. I mean, if that happens, that's what I would do if I were them. Yeah, I was going to say, if I was Cleveland in that scenario, and I would take Kuminga there. I don't think Suggs, like you said, is a good fit there. And they just got Jared Allen, so they don't really need Evan Mobley. I think Kuminga would be the guy. I think he makes the most sense there. And I'm a big Kuminga fan anyway. I think he has tremendous upside, and you can look up and end up being the best player in this draft. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So I wouldn't hesitate if I was them in that scenario to take him there.
Colvin,
you can look in.
Oh, no, my fault, y'all. for Cleveland, this is where I kind of like Mobley. I think that, you have a lot of questions right now with, obviously, you mentioned Colin Sexton. I think that the fit, he's not, Mobley, I think, will be a lot better in Cleveland because although they did make that trade, they brought in Jared Allen, they can still re-sign Allen and kind of go with a rotation of him and Mobley for a couple of years. Even they might even be able to play, I would probably put them together, but, you know, we've seen Allen step out this year and hit a couple of threes. Mobley can kind of do that without having the pressure of getting the ball on offense and making things happen, because with enough guys on that team right now to at least attempt to put the ball in the basket. I like that better. I think that you can kind of cement him more around that area, but I mean, maybe, you know, Cleveland tries to shop this. I don't know for what, like you said, I don't think they're going to go up for like a number one or two, but I like Mobley. I think his fit here will be a lot cleaner of a fit, mixing a little perimeter ball with a little inside play as well.
Will, any thoughts?
For me, I have Jalen Green going number three for all the reasons Corbin explained at pick number two. You know, he does have that potential. You know, I do think he's going to be a really good player in this league. And but when you pick him, it's already been talks of Colin Sexton being on the trading block. You probably will have to go ahead and trade Colin Sexton, and you will get something in return for that. You know, I don't think they should go with Kuminga because they got Isaac Okoro last year. So you have two guys in there that are pretty raw and non-offensive, but they would be great on the defensive end. But, you know, I would say Jalen Green is too good of a talent to pass. But I wouldn't mind Mobley either, because I do think he could play with Jared Allen also.
Some interesting prospects for Cleveland. They're going to have a hard time. You know, sometimes they're a bit iffy with number one and top three draft picks. We're not going to mention Anthony Bennett, but we will. pick four, Toronto. Who's going to kick us off? Isaac, what do you think of Toronto with the fourth pick?
I think they go Jalen Suggs. I think you've seen a lot of fire there. I think that's the name that's been connected with them the most. And I think they have a lot of guards there already. But, again, and me and David have kind of talked a lot about this on our show. I just think, especially when you're picking this high, man, you go with the best player on the board. And that's kind of what I think Houston does with Mobley. And two, even though I think Jalen Green might be a better fit, I just think Suggs at that point, when you take Mobley, you take Green off the board, I just think he's the best fit. I don't think you go, and I'm just kind of go since what I just said, but I don't think you go Kuminga there because he's kind of similar to Pascal Siakam. That's actually the cup that you see for him a lot is Siakam. So I think Suggs is the guy. And I mean, he's a leader. I mean, I think that's one of his biggest qualities. Some things that don't show up in the stat sheet. And again, I just think that's kind of the way they go. And I think Suggs goes number four to Toronto.
Well, you know, they're getting to the end of, I suppose, Kyle Lowry's tenure from all reports up at the Raps. So, you know, if you can get the heir apparent with Jalen Suggs, another leader, point guard, you know, could be a winner up there. Corbin, what are your thoughts?
I like Suggs. I'm right there. I'm right there in agreement with that. I think that he's a fit for me and like the heir apparent for a Lowry, someone who just fits the culture of these Toronto guards that they've had for Lowry and Fred VanVleet, who can kind of play both. I guess you could bring up a Malachi Richardson in that same sense, but a guy who can kind of play both positions, shoot the ball well, you know, a natural leader on his own on a team that has some veteran leadership there. I just think it's a nice slot. You have him, you have VanVleet, Pascal, Chris Boucher, OG Anunoby. I mean, let's say you bring that team back to Toronto. I think we're looking at another top three team.
It'd be an exciting young team as well, and I think they'll be causing some damage in the East for a little while to go going forward. Will, what do you reckon? You're with Suggs?
Oh, so now y'all love Jalen Suggs. Huh? Okay.
They just wanted him in Canada. They just wanted it slash Canada. Right, depending right. on where they move him.
Listen. Oh, my goodness. You know,
if the board falls away, I'm saying Evan Mobley is still available. And I think he would be the perfect fit for the Raptors. You know, in my opinion, that's the position that they're lacking in the most. They were running Aaron Baines out there. You have Chris Boucher, who's 29, but still raw. You know, he's starting to develop, but he's 29. So he's not big enough, really. Yeah, he's an older gentleman. So if Evan Mobley fell to Toronto, not only would he be the best player on the board, he'd be the best fit so far selected in the draft, I feel. So,
yeah,
I'm sure Toronto is crossing their fingers on that one.
I think that'd be the dream for them, right? Because that has been kind of a position since, you know, they traded for Gasol to win the title. They've really been hurting at the center position. And, you know, Baines has proved that he just, you know, he is a rotation big man, but he's not necessarily a starting big man in the league. And that'd be crazy with what they had, you know, Malachi Flynn, Fred VanVleet, Siakam, and then Mobley. And OG, I forgot about OG. OG, man. That's a pretty solid starting five.
It's going to scare some people. It is going to absolutely scare some people. And particularly with the East still being a bit wide open, you know, you got the Bucks there, but, you know, Sixers are sort of imploding. There's a few different teams, the Nets. The Knicks are looking okay. But the Raps, you know, they had a pretty tough season being in Tampa, getting relocated. You know, these guys have set up lives and the like, you think, in Canada. So it's a bit of a different lifestyle being in Tampa. But, you know, I don't know who they're going to take, but I like that Suggs. Or if Mobley does fall there, you've just got to grab the best player available. I think top four, you just have to. I think you don't swing for the fence. Well, you swing for the fences in terms of making it fit later on, but you've just got to grab the best guy. And all of those guys seem like good players. Now, to round out the top five, I reckon after the fifth pick, we're going to round out probably six, seven, and eight, and we'll just throw some guys out for those guys and group them together. I'm just conscious I'm not keeping guys up to midnight. sorry, guys, time difference. Me recording in the morning, got all day. Orlando, pick five. David Williams, can you kick us off? Who's Orlando taking?
Yeah, I think Kuminga is still on the board there. And at this point, he's the best player on the board for what they have. You know, there's you got Markel Fultz, Gary Harris in the trade with Denver, RJ Hampton. So they're pretty guard heavy. I don't think they're going to be looking at a point guard / shooting guard type. I think Kuminga is the guy that they target.
Oh, yeah. Isaac, thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think Kuminga's definitely the guy there. And as I said earlier, I think they're going to be lucky to be able to get him there at five, because if he reaches his potential, I think he's right up there with Cade and Evan Mobley as a guy you can look back 3-4 years down the line, and he's the best player in this draft. I mean, it's 6'7". I mean, he's explosive, above the rim, can overpower guys, get to the basket, can score from mid-range. I mean, he can do a lot of things. Now, he's raw. I mean, it's potential with him, and I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to year one set the world on fire. But again, I just think there's so much there with him to work with. And I think he's a guy that has a good chance of realizing that potential. And I think you got to look back and he's going to look like a top three player in this draft when we look back 3 or 4 years down the line. So Orlando's a team that has a lot of young guys, a lot of room to grow. And he's a guy that can grow along with those guards. I think it'll be a tremendous pick for them there at five.
It's going to be super scary with Jonathan Isaac there as well.
Yeah, I mean, those two guys, man, defensively, what they could do.
So we just done a community mock draft, and I had the Magic. That was a team I was drafting for. But they've got a lot of good young players. The Isaac's coming back off of the injury. They've got Wendell Carter Jr. down there, Chuma Okeke, Mo Bamba. They've got the young guards and young front court. I think that whoever takes over there, they've still yet to name a coach. But I think that while it's a young roster, you're not going into an awful situation. If you get the right coach that can develop talent, I think that Magic team can surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, they have a lot of length, a lot of athleticism, big guards. I mean, they have some stuff to work with down there, man. They got some prospects that these guys paying out, man. They could be a team. I mean, you think about defensively what they'll be able to do with that length. I mean, it could be crazy if these guys, all these guys pan out.
Yeah, man. If you Kuminga, Isaacs, and Mo Bamba all at the same time, that is a pretty stiff defensive front court, man.
There's going to be some length, that's for sure. Corbin, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm right with the rest of y'all. I think it kind of has to be in this case. I definitely would love to see Kuminga's jump shot improve, but it was really between Kuminga and Scotty Barnes for me for this spot. And I think, honestly, Kuminga does a lot more off ball while still having some playmaking ability, where Scotty Barnes for Florida, from what I've seen, kind of almost played point guard for them. You don't really need another guy on ball for Orlando when you already have Markelle Fultz returning. You know, eventually you have, you know, we already mentioned the others they have in the backcourt alongside those guys. You know, you mentioned not even a Gary Harris and RJ Hampton who are kind of waiting in the wings, but you have Cole Anthony who really came on late in the year as well. So you have enough guys who are gonna have the hands on the ball. You need another guy who can like just finish, you know, maybe focus on growing from there, see how he fits, like you said, alongside Jonathan Isaacs when he returns, alongside Chuma Okeke as well. They're going to have a lot of length. They're going to have the kind of team that, you know, this Orlando front office loves. Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, they love that type of length and athleticism there. And if he can even grow and get that jump shot going, I'm all on him. Like, I'm still very high on Scotty Barnes when we get to him. But I think right now the one benefit that Kuminga has is that he doesn't need to be on the ball to be successful right now.
Yeah, Will, do you agree?
Well, that's a nice transition there, Corbin, because I'm going with Scotty Barnes.
Wow.
For the Orlando Magic. Yeah, Scotty Barnes is silently moving up draft boards. A lot of people are having him go even to the top three right now and third pick to Cleveland. In my opinion, I think the only difference probably is, like you said, the ball handling and his potential, his wingspan, all that. And he's 3 inches taller than Kuminga. So they're saying he could be Draymond Green, all type of different things. So at this point,
the next Magic Johnson, man.
I don't know about that.
But oh, man, I see what you're going
with. Here we go.
The Magic have young talent at every position, so they cannot be drafting for position, in my opinion. I think they just need to go with the guy with the highest ceiling, and right now that appears to be Scotty Barnes.
Ooh, it's a controversial pick up there, but you know, if he does turn into Magic Johnson, well, you're laughing, aren't you? So
I did not say that, y'all.
It was shades of that. It was shades of that Kobe comparison. We got to have one just throw out there randomly. Yeah. So I like that. Good job. We'll do it again, like four picks.
Yeah, who's MJ? Is he going like pick 12 or something? Hopefully, pick 10 to the to the Billings. Also, news this morning was Jamal Mosley was named as head coach of the Orlando Magic, according to Mark Spears. So there's only two vacant head coaching spots left, being the Wizards and the Pelicans, because they're taking their sweet time as per normal, which is lovely. But yeah, he's going to be a fantastic fit there, I think, as well. He actually played in the NBL, having a Google, mostly. So he's 14 years an assistant coach. But anyway, he's got his chance to take on a young Orlando Magic team. So looking forward to seeing who they pick as well. Now, as I sort of foreshadowed previously, I reckon we just group the next, I don't know, 6, 7, 8. Obviously conscious of time for you guys. Oklahoma's 6, Golden State is 7, and Orlando again is at 8. So I suppose if you swing for the fences at Kuminga, you can hopefully get someone a little bit, perhaps, I don't know, more safe, question mark, at pick 8. Who's the next tier underneath that consensus top 5? David, kick us off. Do you have 3?
So, yeah, number 1 for me, outside of those, you know, we talked about Scotty Barnes. He would definitely be, I think, the next pick. But James Bouknight's another guy that's been climbing up boards. He's a – man – when we initially started talking about draft, Bouknight was quite a bit further down on the boards, and he was my number one guy for the Grizzlies. There's been talk about the Grizzlies possibly moving up. I don't know that they're going to get this far up, but like, that would be the dream. He's just a guy that can be, if he moves into your starting lineup, great, but he could definitely be the microwave scoring guy off the bench, I think, right off the bat. So he is probably, to me, out of the guys that we got left on the board, he's the most impressive.
Yeah. Isaac, what do you think?
Yeah, man. Once you get past Scotty Barnes and Jonathan Kuminga there, I think at the bottom of that 5-6 right there, man, there's a lot of lot of different ways this could go. I mean, you look at, and when you look at most mock drafts, there's a group of guys here that I'm not really a big fan of. I mean, Keon Johnson is kind of a guard out of Tennessee, really athletic, has some potential, but I just don't know. I don't see why he's a 10 pick. Franz Wagner out of Michigan is another guy that you see consistent top 10. Davion Mitchell out of Baylor. And those are three guys that, to me, they're just not top 10 picks. David mentioned James Bouknight is the guy that I really like. I think Marcus Moody would be the guy for me, 6'6", 211-pound shooting guard at Arkansas.
There's no Marcus Moody in Arkansas.
I mean, Marcus Moody, Moses Moody. Moses Moody. I got Memphis, got Memphis on the brain, man. Former Memphis Tiger, Marcus Moody. But yeah, Moses Moody is a prospect that I really like. And I think, to me, I would take him over Keon Johnson or Franz Wagner if you're taking a wing there, and Davion Mitchell. I think he's the best guard, and Bouknight would kind of be the next guy for me. So I'm not really with the consensus on these mock drafts. I think those are the two next guys that would be in the next tier for me.
Mm. Yeah, Corbin, what do you think?
I mean, first off, I'm going to have to go off of Isaac. If we can't talk Marcus Moody out of retirement to re-enter the draft, then we gotta start looking at – it's weird. I think after number five, it's been talked about before, I'm really just going to add to that consensus, like y'all mentioned, where it's kind of just up in the air. Bouknight makes sense in terms of fit, in terms of, you know, he's active at least defensively, offensively. You know what he's going to bring, you know, shooting a three, all of that. Keon Johnson's athleticism is just – it's intriguing to me. Especially when he's going straight downhill, but shooting 26% from three, being squarely a wing, maybe not. I can see it's like a Latrell Sprewell type if this was like 1995. Not dating myself there, but anyway, really not. But I put him more like that. But like, I don't know. I think Wagner makes the most sense. Not only do I have a soft spot for his older brother, former Laker great Mo Wagner, but like he's someone that I think could be like a jack of all trades, something like a Nicholas Batum. You know, I've seen some compared to like a Danilo Gallinari or Lamar Odom. I don't see that level upside yet. But if you can do a little bit of everything, I mean, Batum had a couple years where he was doing like 9, 5, and 4. That's not great. That's certainly not like top 7, but this is what we have to work with. And if you can make an impact in that many different ways, being a Swiss Army knife of a player, you know, being a decent shooter in a draft that, let's be real, after Bouknight is kind of rough. Well, Bouknight and Moody, I might say, is kind of rough on shooting. If you can bring a little bit of everything on that long side with 6'9", 220, with that height and frame, I think that's one of your best bets in this NBA. So that'll be one guy I would put like just standing out.
Interesting. And Will, what's that next tier for you, mate?
So you want me to go ahead and go 6, 7, and 8?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
All right. my next tier, I guess I'll start with Jonathan Kuminga. You guys mentioned him at 5. I think if he goes to OKC, you know, they're in need for developing. They don't care about winning right now, so he'll be a perfect fit for them. Golden State, I have a sleeper with Alperen Sengun. The 6'9 big man from Turkey. I think he could be great. If he could possibly reach Domantas Sabonis levels, that's going to be a steal of a pick. And then I agree with Isaac, with James Bouknight, Isaac and David. I think Bouknight, if he went to 8 to Orlando, that would be a great pairing with their 5th pick. And I totally agree. I don't like Keon Johnson or Mo Wagner either. Is it Mo Wagner? Franz Wagner. Yeah. So neither one of the
Wagners. Nobody likes Mo anymore.
Yeah. So, those three are standing out to me as 6, 7, and 8.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify?
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, very interesting next tier. Now, I mean, Sacramento is Sacramento, so they'll just pick whoever New Orleans have their eyes on, which seems to be a theme, as they always pick ahead of us. Yeah, I'm going to go to the most important pick in this draft. Pick number 10, New Orleans.
Disrespected the Kings. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Kings. I mean, yeah. Just stay directly behind us in standings. That will be fine. For us. But New Orleans got pick 10. There was a chance to move up into the top four. Otherwise, I think we could have slipped to 14 or something. But however the lottery works, we ended up landing exactly where we finished. Average sort of season for the most part, besides Zion Williamson, who is fantastic. pick number 10. Who is New Orleans selecting if they hold on to their pick? Corbin, kick us off.
I mean, you got to hope they don't, right? I mean, I don't really know. Like, who are you? I certainly don't really have any recommendations outside of, like, what I've looked at in terms of someone that would fit with that right now. You want to get shooting because, you know, I mean, aside from just, you know, giving up leads, I mean, you're the Pelicans expert. You know what happened there. I feel like you didn't have enough space for Zion, to a lesser extent for Brandon Ingram, for anyone. So if you can't bring someone who could just, like, space the floor, I think that's your – like first and foremost priority, then I feel like you're trying to shop and hopefully bring in somebody that can. Like, you kind of want to figure out your direction. I would imagine that Stan Van Gundy's gone for the same reason that Alvin Gentry's gone, is because, you know, maybe the front office is trying to move more to a win now direction. So I don't know if you want yet another young person to have to hopefully develop, especially when Zion is doing just that and so fast.
Yeah, I agree. William, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think it depends on who's there at 10. You know, if things don't go according to the consensus, you know, you could get a steal at 10. But, and I do agree with Corbin also. I think you'll be in a better spot to possibly trade that pick if you can get great value, because New Orleans is a young team with pretty much talent at every position. Also, a lot of people are saying you guys need a center that can stretch the floor for Zion. That would help. But I don't know if anyone is at 10 that will do that for you.
So, Jackson Hayes, well, sniper. Well,
I hate to interrupt, but I also just saw a Twitter video 2 days ago of Steven Adams running the corner and letting it rain from out there. So just stay tuned, though. Just stay tuned, all right?
Stretch, Kiwi.
There we go. I have a soft spot in my heart for those 20, you know, 17 and 2020 Oklahoma City Thunder. So I stand right for Steven Adams.
Right, right. Hey, you never know. I hope it works out for him. But in case it doesn't. If Davion Mitchell is available, I think he'll be the best player on the board. You know, if even you can get any type of glimpse of Donovan Mitchell on your team, you can't say, well, we have a point guard or a shooting guard. Like, you get that guy on your team and Absolutely. You figure it out later. So, you know, and he's great defensively. He's explosive. Only his only knock is he is 6'2", and he doesn't get to the free throw line that much. If he was 3 inches taller, he'd be a guaranteed top five pick, in my opinion. So I think you got to roll with that. Because Donovan Mitchell is 6'1", 6'2", also. So you got to go with that. Take a chance on somebody with that type of talent.
Yeah, for sure. If he's there, well, we'll get him if he can score. So we need to shoot the three. David, what do you reckon? Who are the Pills taking?
So shooting, Corbin mentioned shooting, and the best shooter in the draft is still on the board at this point. But with the Pelicans' struggles on defense, I don't think it's a guy that you can really justify taking at 10. But Corey Kispert is probably the best shooter in this draft, and he's still on the board. That would be somebody maybe you could look at. But I like he's not a guy that I'm picking at 10. And I think if they keep the pick, it's really what do you need, right? So you have – Josh Hart and Lonzo Ball that could possibly be leaving. Is that right? I think I yeah, looked potentially. At that right. Mm-hmm. So if I think their number one priority would be retaining Lonzo Ball. Like, you don't want to let him leave after what he's doing. I think that he is a good fit with that, with the core. And then you just look at somebody that can help that team defensively. Moses Moody would be a guy that I like at 10. If he is not off the board.
You know, the ones that float around in Pell's Twitter is Kispert because he can shoot the three, and then also Moses Moody. And, you know, very – well, I mean, they're both good shooters. But I think I think you hit the nail on the head. The defense is something that we're going to need, especially if you don't want to overpay for Josh Hart. You know, while he's a fantastic defender and really high-energy guy, and he does a whole heap of stuff that doesn't show up in a box score, sitting through a whole heap of late fourth quarter collapses this year, you know, we were usually spurred on by Josh Hart right till the final final buzzer. He's about the only one that did. I am with you. I think defense and shooting are our two main, needs at the moment. Jackson Hayes has sort of come along in his own stride. So for him, you know, you've got a really high potential guy in terms of a big man. Lonzo Ball, you know, if you don't have to overpay for him, it would be good. If we have to pay him a max, well, you know, then it starts asking questions. But again, it all seems what comes down. Isaac, who do you think the Pels take?
Yeah, man, Kispert makes a lot of sense there, babe, because of the shooting. But like you said, the Pelicans have struggled so much defensively. You really can't justify taking him there, because I think he's going to really struggle on defense. I think he's going to be basically a shooting specialist. It's tough there. I think I have to agree with David. I think I would go Moody if he's still on the board there at 10. I think his size and what he brings to the two-guard position, I think he'll be able to bring more defensive value than the other guys. De'Veon Mitchell, I just wish he was like 3 inches tall, 3 or 4 inches taller. And I think he'd be a fantastic prospect. That's kind of what knocks him down for me. So if Moody's on the board, I think if I'm the Pels, I go there. And I don't know if he's going to help you tremendously defensively, but Lyles Guntherman, Josh Giddey, man, I'm a big time fan of Giddey. And you look at the guards there. If you lose Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart, you're going to need a guard there. And I think he's a playmaker, and I think him and Zion would be fun watching them play together. The way he can pass the basketball, I think he'd really be good for Zion and kind of get him off the basketball, because I don't like to experiment with Zion on the ball. I think that kind of hurt his game. I think they're better when he's not in that position. So Giddey, I would give Giddey a look there, but I think if Moody's on the board, I think Moody would be the guy I would pull the trigger for on 10.
Yeah, well, I mean,
loud.
Yeah.
Loud, just to upset you, I do have the Kings at 9 taking Moses Moody.
Wow.
Honestly, I really do, honestly. So
see why I skipped over it?
Hopefully they don't snipe you, right?
They can have Giddey.
I don't think Davion is a bad fit there at all. I think Will made a great point with him, because, like, if you're looking out of the guys that are wing players that are left on the board, and unless you're just taking a crazy swing at upside of a guy like Zaire Williams, and Isaac and I have talked about him on our podcast at length, he's not a guy that I'm a huge fan of. You go back and you watch his film at Stanford, I'm not seeing all this upside that people are talking about. So I'm not taking that chance there. And I don't think the Pelicans are in the spot where they really want to take a chance on a guy with upside. I think they want a guy that can hit the floor running and contribute year one. And so, you know, if Moody does get picked off at 9, Davion Mitchell, defensive wise, you know, he can come in, and I think that he's going to struggle against bigger players, I think. But, you know, like the one or two, the best one or two on the other team, I think that he could lock them down.
I honestly think they're going to try to move the pick. I think you kind of see some reports coming out today that they're looking to – they want someone, a veteran. And I saw a report, I think, Kurt Hellen from NBC Sports put their report out today that said they're looking to shop the pick to move for a veteran. And I think that might be what you see there, because I don't love any of these prospects that'll be available for them there. I mean, Davion Mitchell, again, does make some sense. I just kind of, like I said, wish he was a little bit bigger at 6'1". He's going to struggle, because I think he's really a two-guard, but he's kind of in a one-guard, a point-guard body. And I think that's kind of the problem with him. And I think defensively, I think he might not fix their problem there. So that's kind of my thoughts on Davion. So it wouldn't surprise me if they move off that pick.
I think New Orleans has got to be praying that Boaknight or Moody fall to 10. That's what if they keep that pick. They want one of those two guys to be there.
Yep.
Yeah, we need someone to contribute straight away. I think you can't go and have someone. We've had enough young guys. You know, we're going to get Kyra Lewis in the last draft. He was he'd come out as a sophomore, but he'd reclassified, so he was only 18 when we got him. He already played 2 years of college basketball. Fantastic young prospect himself. So you know, we've got a little speedster there as well, De'Aaron Fox like, but with a better jump shot. And I just don't think we need too many more 18-year-olds. I feel like the team, and Stan Van Gundy, actually, he spoke on the Stupidity podcast last week, I think it was, and he kept harping on how young the team was. And, you know, I can understand why they want to move it for a veteran. Honestly, if we can get someone that can contribute straight away, I think that's probably better for Zion. But, you know, if the prospects are there, I do like those defensive-minded guys. You know, Davion Mitchell sounds I actually heard him speak, I think, in the pre-draft lottery. I think they had him on mic'd up on ESPN, and he spoke really well. So he looked like a pretty switched-on kid, which, you know, you like to see. I think you want those high-character guys as well in your team, because that can't do any harm. Now, the next sort of bit is the end of the lottery, and that's where the Memphis Grizzlies find themselves as well. And luckily, we've got two experts here, and this next sort of 11, 12, 13, I don't know, 14, 15, 16 up to Memphis at 17. What is that? I know we've probably flagged a few of those guys. Who is the best guy, I guess, in that sort of area? And I mean, it's all about picking need and the like at that point. But who's Memphis going to take? Isaac?
17 is kind of a unique spot, because I think there's a possibility that some guys that you think might not be there, could fall. We kind of see that every year. So, I mean, you kind of sitting there at 17, and there's a lot of different ways you can go, because the Grizzlies are unique. Don't really have room for rookie or minutes at this point. I mean, we think they're probably going to make some moves this summer to kind of consolidate that roster, because they have a lot of guys at the shooting guard, small forward position, kind of a overload there. So we think they'll make some moves to kind of unload some of those guys. But they're in a unique position where at 17, they could take a guy for upside that they could stash down in our G League team with the Memphis Hustle and kind of redshirt them, so to speak, and have them develop down there. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways the Grizzlies could go with this. But, again, my favorite prospect in this range is Josh Giddey. I mean, I love Josh Giddey. I don't think he makes it down to 17. I mean, that would be a dream scenario for me. But I think he's a fit on any team because of his unique skill set. I don't think he fits into any boxes position-wise. I think he could play 1, 2, or 3, a guy that you can bring off the bench, kind of a jack-of-all-trades guy, put him on the ball, he can play some off the ball. I think him and Ja would be tremendous, their play-breaking ability that they could bring. And it's just a unique skill set. A guy that size can see the floor the way that he sees it. I'm a big-time Josh Giddey fan, but I don't think he'll be there. The guy that I'm looking at for the Grizzlies that's number one on my list realistically is Chris Duarte, a guy out of Oregon, 24 years old. That's kind of why I think his stock is down a little bit, because if he was 19, 20 years old, I think he'd be a lot top 10 pick, no doubt. With the skill set he brings, what he can do offensively, he can shoot the basketball, really good defender, can get to the basket strong, bring size to the shooting guard position at 6'6". Does a lot of good things for you, and I think he might have the safest outside of the lottery. I think he definitely has the safest floor. I think he's a guy that he's 100% at least going to be an NBA rotation player. I think at worst, I think day one, he'll be able to come in and play for you. And that's the guy that I like there from Memphis at 17.
David, are you with Isaac on that one?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of chat about what are they going to do? Are they going to get a guy historically? And it's, you know, it's only been a few years here, but you look back at what Kleiman's done since he's got to Memphis, and you look at obviously Ja's a no-brainer. Zion goes one. RJ Barrett made it clear he didn't want to play in Memphis. He wanted to be in New York. That's fine. Ja at two. Then later on in that draft, he trades up to get Brandon Clark, a guy that played multiple years in college, and a lot of teams let him fall because of his age. Well, then the next year, trade up and get Desmond Bane at the end of the first, trade up again and get Xavier Tillman in the first part of the second. So he's not afraid of guys that are a little bit older. The age thing for Kleiman has not been a factor. It doesn't seem to affect the way that he drafts. So, if he does stick to his guns and drafts the same way that he has been, then it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Duarte end up being a Grizzly. They've done a lot of stuff to kind of implicate maybe they're going to move back or possibly even up, depending on what's available. You know, Josh Christopher is a guy that's kind of mocked all over the place from, you know, late first round to, I think one place has him at 20 right now, but he was in Memphis this week working out for the team. So is that somebody that they're eyeing at 17? Because he's someone they could send down to the G League and let him develop a little bit more before they bring him up. So it's really that, I think that is what's got me so excited about this draft for the Grizzlies, because there's no like hole in the roster. There's no position where we have to have this guy. Do they need more shooting? Yes, they do. A lot of Grizz fans like Corey Kispert. I'm not a huge fan of Corey Kispert. I think that he is going to be very one-dimensional. I think his lack of athleticism is going to get him torched on the defensive end. I don't think his game is going to translate into the NBA other than just being a shooter. So I don't like him there. I would rather them take a swing at a guy like Josh Christopher than, you know, Kispert falls to 17 and they take him. There'll be a lot of Grizzlies fans that are happy, but I will not be one of them.
I agree with David on Kispert, because Grizzlies need shooting, but they need versatility. Guys that on the wing that are versatile, because I mean, you bring him in, you just drafted Desmond Bane, who's a shooter. Where is he going to play? That's the thing about Kispert. Josh Christopher is at least a guy that you feel can do some other things if he develops, and he's a guy that you can again take down to the G League and hopefully develop and come down and be more of a two-way player. And Kispert, I just don't think brings that, and I think a team, whoever takes him, and I think they're going to be disappointed, because I think he's going to end up just being a shooting specialist. I just don't know who he can guard in the NBA. I mean, you talk about a team that needs shooting, it's like Kispert is best shooter in the draft, so it's a no-brainer. But I just think he's going to be super one-dimensional, and I just don't – that's not what the Grizzlies need right now.
Will, what are your thoughts on who's Memphis taking?
Well, I think we had enough of Memphis coverage, you know, me and Corbin – Corbin is a Lakers fan. I'm a Hornets fan. So let's talk about our teams. You know,
all right, I think they cover Memphis.
I'm with it. You know, I like the Grizzlies and all that grit and grind. Let's grind on to the Lakers. You know,
go on, man. What are the Lakers going to do? Pick what they got? 22.
Yeah, go ahead, Corbin. Yeah,
listen. I forgot that we traded our pick anyway. So no, okay. I mean, if
you want Eric Bledsoe,
probably. No, thank you. You were trying to get rid of him for everything. I mean, listen, you do realize there's a ton of Laker fans who think we can get a number one for Kyle Kuzma, right? Like, we should get like a top five pick for that, right? Like, we delusional. So maybe we ain't that delusional. No, I'm good.
Yeah, some of those Kuzma trades you see on Twitter, man. Y'all think Kuzma's a big deal, man, down there in LA.
Oh my gosh, man, you know. But
Pelican swindled you.
Yeah, you know what, man? I still we can talk about that later. I like Nashawn Highland, did a looking on him. We need guard play. I mean, we didn't see from what happened with Dennis Schroeder, the fact that we don't really have any shooting, with Alex Caruso being solid, he can shoot three, okay, but he's not doing it at tremendously high volume. We need someone else who can kind of put the ball in the basket that can self-create and isn't, you know, LeBron James. And for that, I'm looking at Nashawn Highland. He might go earlier. He's projected like late first, so I think he's right there. He's a good shooter. He does it well from deep. He can make plays as far as just playmaking for others, but off the dribble, moves well off the ball. 6'3" from VCU. I like him. He doesn't draw like a lot of free throws, and he's not really a true point guard, but we have LeBron, so I don't think we need a true point guard. We just need a combo guard who can shoot and score, and he can do that. So if he can do that and run the point, you know, on select minutes or whatever, I think that's a nice fit. Somebody could just come in. We need a player like that that isn't exactly I can't even say I like Hayden Horton Tucker, because I think he's okay, but I think he's overrated. Like, we need a guy like that, but just with a swing more to the shooting than getting to the rim, because we see when it gets tougher in high-pressure games and or playoffs that the rim can kind of get swallowed up. But if we need someone to open up the floor a little bit, I like Highland for that.
Not bad. Will, you're a Charlotte Hornets fan, aren't you? What do they got?
That's right. You know, we're getting pretty young and good at all positions except for center. We've been terrible at center forever. Our best center was Al Jefferson back in the day for the Bobcats. So I think if Kai Jones falls there to number 11, the big man from Texas, I think that would be a great fit for us. I mean, really any center that's at 11 is better than anything we've had in a long time. So if somehow Al Parisian
goes. I'm not going to take too much Stephen Adams slander, sir.
Hey, I'm not talking about the Pelicans.
I know. I know. Every time I hear talking you about the center, I'm bringing up Stephen Adams.
Do you want
Do I want who?
Eric Bledsoe.
Hey, I would take Eric Bledsoe for Cody Zeller any day of the week.
What so better leader to learn Cody from for LaMelo?
But anyway, Cody Zeller's got to get out of there. Biombo can stay as a backup or whatever, but I think Kai Jones will be a great fit at 11. He's got a lot of potential. If Al Parisian and Gun falls to 11, take the center. Charlotte needs the center more than anything. Get it done. Simple. Easy fit.
Oh, trade for Stephen Adams.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take LaMelo.
Hey, Will, I know they drafted Vernon Carey from Duke last year. Are you not convinced that he has enough upside to maybe be that guy for you? He didn't really get to see the floor a whole lot last year.
Right. It's not about me being convinced. I don't think the Hornets are convinced because they didn't give him an opportunity to play. I mean, it was crazy at the end of the season. You know, we had a lot of injuries to Zeller, and if we only had Biombo. Biombo missed a couple games. They still never really played my guy, Vernon Carey. They also drafted Nick Richards. Didn't really play him either. So I don't know if they just have no confidence or they're saving him for next year. But if that's something they have, you know, as a secret, you know, plan they have, then they could surprise someone like if Davion Mitchell falls or, you know, just take a shot on talent as Zaire Williams or someone like that. But if they don't believe in Vernon Carey, they have to go with the big man at 11.
Well, if he's anything like Big Al Jefferson, jeepers. I used to get that guy on 2K flat out. He was a problem. One of the last true
Big Al, man.
Big men like in the post.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about him for a long time, but now I'm going to watch his highlights after this because, he was wicked. Guys, so I reckon we probably hit the nail on the draft. I mean, there's a lot of probably later on in the draft that a few different guys are going to get moved around. You guys been watching the finals? Surely it's probably a stupid question, isn't it? I mean, what are they looking like? These Phoenix Suns, hey?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they've got a lot of slander on Twitter and everything for being, you know, I guess the one relatively healthy team after all the injuries have kind of ravaged the whole playoffs. But I not only do I push back on that, because come on, like it's a war of attrition. That's every playoffs. Like I think you go back to like 2014 with it, the last two teams that weren't necessarily impacted either themselves or their opponents by like a major injury. Every other year since then, whether or not the team was favored, they played a team that wasn't at 100%. And you could look, you know, playoffs, finals, all that good stuff. So on the one hand, I don't like hearing that. I just got to get on my soapbox and say that. On the other hand, I feel like that's credit to the Suns for managing to kind of keep injuries to a minimum. I mean, considering that they play a 36-year-old point guard who played almost every game this year, you know what I mean? That they have a lot of guys who, I mean, they've suffered some unfortunate injuries this finals with Dario Saric and Torrey Craig, but they've mostly been healthy in a year where that's been hard to come by. So I give them credit just for that, but they're just a solid team. Like, I'm not a Suns fan. I'm in Arizona right now, actually, and it's funny because as a Lakers fan, you know, I really should be mad. But if you think about this, losing to the eventual possible NBA champions – only benefit us as a Lakers because, I mean, we lost the best, you know? I'm out, guys. Somebody else take over.
Yeah, I'm with Corbin on that. I think you get a lot of pushback saying that they're just there because of the injuries, and I don't think that's true at all. I mean, this team started, you saw in the bubble last year, this team was really building something. They go out and add Chris Paul, and, I mean, this is the number two seed. It's not like they're number five seed or number six seed, a team that doesn't supposed to be there. I mean, they're the number two seed, and I just think it just felt like for a while here that they're the team of death. I just felt like they're getting – and I just don't think the Bucks have what it takes. I mean, I said Suns in five before the series started, and I was kind of thinking Giannis was going to miss some time. But even with him back, I mean, you saw game one where he didn't look like there was anything wrong with that knee. He looked 100%. They outshot the Suns. Devin Booker didn't shoot the ball particularly well in game one, and they still lost that game. And then the Bucks – the Suns come back and win game two, you're staring at a 2-0 hole. I can't see the Bucks winning two games in a row, even back in Milwaukee. I think the Suns get one of those games. I think Bucks probably win game three. I think the Suns win game four, and they go down 3-1. I think it's lights out. I just think the Suns are too much for them right now. Chris Paul is just on another level. They don't really have an answer for him, and they don't really have an answer for Aiden. And I just think defensively, and you talk about Budenholzer, they just don't play smart. They don't play to their strengths. It's just been rough all along. It's kind of crazy to me that they're in the finals. I think we just talk about all the injuries that we saw in the East. I think the Nets would have definitely been there. But, again, I mean, it's what we got, and I think the Suns are just the better team, and I think they're going to win this thing fairly easy.
Yeah. With you there.
What do you reckon, Dave?
I think Richard Jefferson made a great point earlier today. He was talking about Giannis is the best player in the series. I think that, you know, at this point in Chris Paul's career, you can't argue that he's better than Giannis. So Giannis is one. But then the next three best players all play for Phoenix.
Yeah.
They all play for the Suns. And, you know, Drew Holiday is an excellent basketball player. He is not showing up. You know, Chris Middleton has not been Chris Middleton in the series. Giannis has to have help. He had that knee injury. He's looked really good. Doesn't look like that's affected him. But he looks like a one-man show out there, and that is really hurting him. And whether that is his own doing or the game plan, whatever is causing them to play this way, that they've got to figure it out. And so this coaching staff with Budenholzer, are they going to be able to make the adjustments to make that happen? Judging by these first two games, I would say no. I think it's Phoenix in 4 or 5.
Yeah, and Holiday and Milton are guys that you just can't depend on. I mean, at times they look like all-star level players, and other times they just look like regular role players. And again, Giannis can't get this done by himself. I mean, because the Suns have guys. I mean, you got Jay Crowder playing big-time basketball. They have to match that, and they just haven't. I mean, Giannis, his guys have let him down. I mean, he's been tremendous. I mean, coming back from injury, fighting, didn't think he was going to play game one, ended up playing, had a good game. He just hasn't had the help, and you really saw it in game two, and he just can't do it by himself. These guys have to step up. Now, I think we'll see that in game three. They go back home. They're going to get there. They're going to have their fans in it. Going to be fired up. And I think you're going to see guys like Middleton and Holiday play better, because you kind of see those guys play better at home. But I just think the Suns are going to win this thing in five. I think they'll split those games. I think they'll go back to Phoenix. I think Phoenix will close it out. I think that's what we're going to see. I predicted that, and I was thinking Giannis was going to be out. But even with him back, man, he's not getting the requisite help, and it's just going to be a tough road for him. And Phoenix is just on a different level right now, and I just think Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton are big-time problems for them defensively, and I just don't know if there's any adjustments. I think it's just a personnel issue.
Will, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I definitely think the Bucks, you know, it's not looking great right now. They're down 0-2, but I think they will come back. I think this series should at least go six. You know, if you look at the last round, the Suns and the Clippers, they went six games, and that was without Kawhi Leonard. So as long as Giannis stays healthy and he's looking great out there, I know it's a lot of load for him to carry, but I think the Bucks will look a lot better at home. You know, this is not the bubble to where you have no crowd, so the role players are not playing as good on the road. So hopefully at home they will step it up. I'm not sure, but, you know, they're definitely in a hole, and Giannis is going to need some help. And speaking of the Suns, you know, if they do eventually win, I do think there will be an asterisk, though, because, you know, they played the Clippers without Kawhi. It was no AD. LeBron wasn't right. They played the Nuggets. Jamal Murray wasn't there.
Are you serious?
But what I'm saying is no one's going to care, because everyone's going to be so happy that Chris Paul got his first ring. So if this was a LeBron championship and all those injuries were there, it would definitely be an asterisk. But, you know, with Chris Paul winning it, no one's going to really care.
Somebody mute this guy.
What about that Lakers championship last year, man?
We don't speak about that. So that was a hard championship psychological. Okay,
hardest of his life, man.
We had no fans. We basically played open gym every night, like
summer league championship.
Exactly. No. You know, I'm a leave.
Yeah.
I knew someone was gonna bring up that Lakers championship. What's the problem, but why you even do?
Yeah,
that?
Man. But man, I've been a Chris Paul hater, man. We haven't been big fans of Chris Paul here in Memphis, man. We had some battles back in the day and in those playoff series. But I mean, I've really fell in love with him this season. I had a lot of respect for him going to OKC and him not complaining there and the way he led that young team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We might have lost him there.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I thought he was stopping hot.
Yeah, that was quite great. It was pause for effect.
I do have one thing. So looking,
I want the Suns to win it.
Oh, there he goes.
Yeah. We got you, man.
You're back. We're losing you, man. Isaac is robot. I want it like Jrue Holiday. I mentioned him. His career numbers. He's a career 50% field goal percentage and 36% from three. He's shooting 31% from the field and 14% from three in this series. And that's the guy that the Bucks went to go get to push them over the edge. They didn't have it before. This is the guy they thought they needed in order to push them over the edge. And he's been invisible. So if they want any shot at all, Giannis is doing what he needs to do.
Yep.
Jrue Holiday is the X factor in this series. If he is able to turn it around, I think that maybe you can see this series go a little bit longer. But if he continues to play this way, man, I don't think Milwaukee has a shot at all.
I'm right with you, David. I got to jump on. Lyle, listen, what David said, I take that, I second it, and I offer you a trade package. Eric Bledsoe with Jrue Holiday straight up. Who says no?
yeah, but you've got to give us another 6 first-round draft picks. Because that's like, what we got for Jrue.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. No, I'm playing with you. Honestly, like, that's the one thing, and I'm glad you brought up, because that was one thing I've been annoyed by. Like, Jrue Holiday, when that trade happened, I thought it was cool. You know, I like Jrue Holiday, the player. I just didn't think he was that guy. Like, the piece up over the top, much less the extension you had it, and maybe he's just not – I don't want to say a big-time player. He's had moments. I mean, he had that one, I think it was a 2018 playoff series with the Pelicans where he played really well. I think it made the second round then. But, like, aside from that, I just feel like he's a solid player. Like, he's not someone you go and hinge your title contention window on, especially at age 31 playing like this, because he just looks all sorts of bad. For someone who's not battling any injury concerns that's reported that we know of, he can't buy a bucket. Is he taking a three? You probably know he's going to miss, especially if it's from the corner for whatever reason this finals. Like, he's just been bad. And he came out this game, you know, he said post-game of game one, you know, I got to be more aggressive. What does he do? He comes out more aggressive. He just misses more. And it's just like, what are we doing at this point? And that's you're right. That's a problem. If they can't step up there, I think the Bucks might just win one game. I mean, I made this joke already, but well, not on this show, but I feel like the Bucks in the last like 3 playoff exits that they've had, they're always good for at least one Chris Middleton 38 or to 41 point game. Just one. Like, it usually comes with a down 3-0 and it doesn't really matter. But usually you're good for like one big Chris Middleton game where he like helps them out. You know, I think you're still due one of those, but like, you can't seriously think you're going to contend without bringing Jrue Holiday. You have Eric Bledsoe, you know, as the artist formerly known as Jrue Holiday right now.
Yeah, man. I was gonna say. I don't know where they go from here, because again, I think this is gonna be a short series. And when they went out and made that move for Jrue Holiday, I'm looking at this like, I'm like, you're a small market. That contract was massive, and I'm like, this better work out. And I understand from their perspective. I think they just wanted to kind of show Giannis that they were for real, that they were really gonna pay money to be a title contender. But you kind of look at the situation now, and the Grizzlies were in this situation a few years back during the Core Four era, where you kind of capped out, you're in a small market, and you're really good, but you don't have what it takes to get over the top. And I'm looking at this situation. A few weeks ago, you were talking about firing Budenholzer. Now, do you going to get to the finals? Do you keep him around now? I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions when this series is over, and I really don't know where the Bucks go from here.
Yeah, I mean, they had to do the trade to get Jrue Holiday, though. I mean, no matter how bad he's playing, he's still playing a lot better than Eric Bledsoe would be playing out there. They would not be in the championship game with Eric Bledsoe.
I gotta say though, real quick, well, I gotta push back just a little bit, because I was looking at this from StatMuse, okay, 2 days ago, and they were comparing. Now, mind you, it's small sample size, because you know, Bledsoe did go to the playoffs more with Milwaukee than this one from Eric Bledsoe. I mean, Eric Bledsoe went more with the Bucks during his years with them than Jrue Holiday's one. But this came out yesterday. So Eric Bledsoe's shooting splits with the Bucks, just playoff career, you know, 41% from the field, 25% from three, 73% from the free throw line. Jrue Holiday, this postseason, 41% from the field, 28% from three, 67% from the free throw line. If you take per 36, it looks even more identical. Like right now, you are getting exact same production in terms of just statistics, in terms of maybe you got Jrue Holiday giving more assists, but shooting percentage, just the whole nine, you are getting the exact same thing. I just find that hilarious. I mean, if anything, Jrue Holiday is shooting worse from the free throw line. I mean, I get it. You're right. All things being equal, you have the better player in Jrue Holiday. But this postseason, I do not think you have a better player right now. I mean, actually, you do, because, I mean, Eric Bledsoe's home. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, those are great points, great stats. But if you would not have gotten – no, really, it is. But if you
like, I'm going to let you finish, but
– Exactly. Oh, this is me and Will all the time.
I know, right? But – if this trade wouldn't have happened, would Giannis be in Milwaukee with Eric Bledsoe? I don't think so, right? He would have left town, right?
Yeah.
That's a trade.
I mean, it was no way to predict that they were going to end up with Eric Bledsoe 2.0 in the playoffs.
True that. True that.
All right, guys. Well, I think we've unpacked a fair bit today. I reckon we might put a pin in it. I really appreciate you all coming on and spending your evenings, your Friday nights, chatting with me and each other. It's been really, really good fun. And I think we should do more of these throughout the journey because they have been really, really good. I'm going to go around the room and if you can just plug your show, plug yourself. And Will, where can we find you?
Oh, definitely. Thank you again for having me on the show, Lyle. This was great fun, even though everyone disagreed with me the whole time. But no, you can follow me on Twitter at WilliamIsBill and check out my podcast, The All Rookie Podcast. I appreciate it. If you listen, give me a follow. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Has he left you? Oh, no. Corbin, thank you very much for jumping on. Where can we find you?
Listen, I had a lot of fun with y'all. We definitely do this again. Find me on Twitter at CorbinNBA. Make sure to check out Roundball Ramble. Hoopball, hoopbasketball.com on Twitter, our hoopball tweets. We all there. We know it. And that's really just about it.
Yeah, David, what about yourself?
I am on Twitter at DWill2111. I am a co-host of the Hoopball Grizzlies podcast, along with Mr. Isaac Simpson. The show is at Hoopball Grizz.
And Isaac, where can we find you? I know you're a hoopball grizz, but what about personally?
Yeah, man, all the stuff that David said, you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals, ISAAC_Rivals. And this was fun, man. We should definitely do more of these, man. I had a lot of fun doing it.
Oh, it was great fun. And guys, again, thank you so much for jumping on. To my listeners out there, I hope you got something out of this. I sure did. I've got a lot to think about now for what the Pelicans should do and what I'm going to whinge about on my podcast. But for now, look after yourselves and bye for now.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.